I'd like to write the subject this morning on the board. Aren't you glad that we can sing a song titled It Is Well With My Soul and have it mean something to our souls? Isn't that a wonderful privilege that the Lord has been willing to speak to our hearts and call us to Himself? I'm very thankful for that today. It's made such a difference in my life. The text that we've been given consideration to for some time now, we've had kind of a series of teaching services. I guess my burden was originally inspired because of a number of young people that we have in our congregation and quite a number of newly married couples where decisions are being made to order your homes and make decisions about homes that perhaps you've never been responsible solely for making those types of decisions, but also our lives. But as I think about that, it's not just for the young people and for the young marrieds, but there's good and there's truth in this for all of us. So may the Lord help us get our portion. And the text that we've been given consideration to is in Proverbs, the 24th chapter. We've been reading it at the front end of these services. I'll read it again. Proverbs 24 and 3, it says, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." As we've stated a number of times, we all have a literal house and we have a spiritual house. We have houses that we live in that are made for material that will eventually pass away, but they become our homes, and there's a lot that comes from those homes. We have our lives, a house, which is our life. And our lives and our literal homes have chambers. They have rooms. They have spaces that we make decisions about. And how our chambers are filled have everything to do with the decisions that we make in life. And to that end, the subject, as we mentioned at the start of the service, is that it makes a difference how we order our life, how we order our homes that we live in. Now, last Sunday, we spent some time speaking about marriage. And this morning, I'm inspired to think about the subject of church relative to how it affects, how it fits into the ordering of our life and our homes. And those two things are intermingled together. And this morning, if you'll allow me, I'd like to use the term church in the general sense of coming together and fellowshipping, as opposed to a more true, pure, deeper meaning of the word church, which is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Every blood-washed person is the child of God, which makes up the church. But this morning, if you'll allow me, a lot of times we use the word church. Well, I'm getting ready to go to church, and we're speaking of the assembling of ourselves together. So that's the way I would like to give consideration to this morning by the help of the Lord, and desire that your prayers, that you would pray that we would be able to get, not my opinion, not what I think, but what does say the word of the Lord. The Bible doesn't use the term church in the modern sense of the word, but it does strongly emphasize the value of assembling. The value of assembling. Meeting together, coming together, fellowshipping together. And I want to preface the message this morning with this, too, that not everyone is able to physically assemble together for different reasons. Some people, they're physically not able to leave their house or the place where they're being taken care of. There are those that are not ready or are in a place to come together in a physical sense and assemble with other people in a semi-organized manner. Other people have reasons between them and God, and the Lord knows that, and the Lord has grace and help for every honest seeking soul that wants to put Jesus first in their lives. And so I'd like to preface it with that, and I'd also like to preface it with this, that may God help us to view this assembling of ourselves together not as a church rule that we check off the list, but as an opportunity. As an opportunity to be fed, as an opportunity to feed others. I feel like that we live in times when more and more are content to look across the world, not just in America, but across the world. And it seems like that more and more are content to let the gathering together, a fellowship, unnecessarily slide and not be a priority in their lives and in their homes when God would rather it be something different. And instead give priority to those things that eventually are going to pass away and that don't have any eternal value. And the result of that can be that there is a dangerous loss of spiritual oil in our lives, and it creates a void and a gap that is then filled with something else. We allow the oil to go out that the Lord would like to be filled with, and when that space becomes empty, and this level begins to decrease because we don't give the Lord priority in our lives, and we begin to run out of that that the Lord would like us to have, then it creates a void that often is filled with something. Well, there's Bible for this teaching, and I suppose one of the more referred to passages concerning this topic is in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and maybe we'll turn there and read it. I'd like to read a few verses to establish this thought with Bible. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith." And if you would, get a hold of the words of the scripture. Let us. This is our part. This is my part. This is your part. Let us. Let me and you. It didn't say let Christ. It said let us. Hold fast. Hold on to the profession of our faith without wavering. It's up to us now to do what we can. The Lord's going to give the grace, but we have to give our hearts, we have to give our lives, we have to give our priority. Lord, I want you to have the first love of my life. I want to hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Because he's going to be faithful, that's promised. And let us, let me, let you consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking, not putting aside, not neglecting, not deprioritizing the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. I underline that in my Bible for myself. So much the more as you see the day approaching, as we get into end times when there is so much to influence us. There's so much to fill our lives. There's so much to fill up the space that we make available in our lives. That this scripture exhorts us, oh, pay attention to that which can keep help. Not the be-all, end-all, but is a piece, is a part to help keep us full of those things that we want to have on hand when that day does approach. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. These are the word of the Lord. It's not my words. If after I know what to do is right, and I have knowledge of that, and the Lord in his mercy has helped me understand the way that he would have me to walk, and yet after I know all of that, I willfully allow myself to be empty with whatever it is, not just assembling ourselves together, but those things that the Lord has showed us in life, and we walk away from that which we know is right. This says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It doesn't mean that the blood of the Lord isn't able to forgive any kind of sins, but what it is speaking of is a person making a decision to walk away from the great gift that the Lord has made available for everyone. And I take note here, and I'd like to make mention of, because it's a central part of the message this morning, is it said, let us consider one another. Let's consider one another to provoke, to generate, to stir up, to be a part of, to create, to fit in unto love and to good works. Consider one another. And so these first two verses is an exhortation to us, to people, to me, to you, as an individual, to hold fast our profession of faith. And that as one of the great commandments that Jesus gave, to love your neighbor as yourself, to care about other people as you do yourself, that yes, put God first in your life, but the second is likened unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And this says, let's do that we are able to do in considering others. And then he went right into saying, not forsaking. This is one of the ways that we can hold fast our faith. It's a piece. It's a piece of it. That we can hold fast our faith and be able to stand when the storm comes. It is a piece and a part of being able to consider other people. Going to a place, not just for ourselves, but assembling ourselves together. Often we call it church. Sometimes it's in a place that looks like church. Sometimes it looks like a house because it is a house. Sometimes it can be in other forms. But gathering together so that we can consider somebody else. It's not just about me. It's not just about you. Sometimes we say, well, I don't feel like I need that. Well, I feel like I can get what I need by myself. Well, my experience is between me and the Lord. And it is. between you and the Lord, but it's more than just about me. And it's more than just about you. There's souls out there that are around us that are going to face eternity one of these days that may not know Jesus as their friend and personal Savior. And one of the ways that we can consider each other is to come where other people are, to be able to minister grace by the grace of God to those that are around us. So the scripture urges believers not to forsake the gathering together because it's essential for spiritual growth. It's essential for encouragement, for fulfilling our role in the body of Christ. And it is a counter-influence. It's a counter-influence to so much of the influence that is in the world around us. This isn't the only scripture that brings out this point. I'd like to read out of the book of Acts now. Acts, the second chapter. It says in the 41st verse, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." This is Acts 2 and 41. And so this is speaking to those that had been converted. This was speaking to those that had given their lives to live for Jesus, that wanted to turn over and say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." And it said, "and they," so that "they" is referring back to those that received his word. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." And they, what does it say? Every once in a while, "and they," when it was convenient, "and they," when it worked out, served their interest, periodically. No, that's not what it said. It said they continued steadfastly in doctrine, in teaching, in fellowship. And I want to say this morning that continue steadfastly. My message is not one of fanaticism. It is not one that I'm endeavoring to be out of balance. I want to be in balance with the Word of God. I'm not speaking of times that we are away for some of the reasons mentioned in the beginning. I'm not speaking of times that we're away with our family and we are attending to the responsibilities that God has given to us to do that, to pay attention to that. That's important. I'm speaking about a pattern of living. And I was challenged with this for myself. Continue steadfastly. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we are sure that we continue steadfastly in that don't have anything to do with this. We do what we want to do most of the time. We find time and we find space to fit into our lives what's most important to us. And there's some things that we do in life and we continue steadfastly in it. Most of us probably don't miss for our main meals. We get tired, we go to sleep. We continue steadfastly in some of those things that we have an interest in, and we make sure, hold on, I've got to go do this, because it's important to us. And I believe that the Lord wants it to be important to us that we give time to be fed and to feed others. Matthew 18 and 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." It just seems like that there is a special blessing of God's presence that is given when his people gather together in his name. And so the scripture said, where there's two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And I don't want to miss out on that special blessing that the Lord has when we are gathered together. In the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, again, I'd like to read scripture with this. Romans 12 and 4 says, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, in other words, gifts that are given to us by the Lord, different gifts to different people given by God, whether prophecy, let's prophesy according to the proportion of faith. According to that which God has given to you, let's prophesy. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. That doesn't mean hold back. It means let us serve that ministry that God has given to us. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. We are, by design, spiritually connected with each other. As I have one body, but I have many members. I have hands and feet and legs and arms and eyes and a nose and ears. It wouldn't work very well if my ear said, look, it's just between me and Rod. Just me and Rod. Just the ears between me and Rod. And the eyes said the same thing. And the feet said, I don't need the legs. And vice versa. And the arms and the hands. The body wouldn't work very well. It wouldn't function as it was intended to. I would go through life and I would miss out on so much of the blessing that God wanted me to be able to experience by having all of the members working together as one body. And so the scripture bears out a comparison, an illustration of the church, of God's body, where there's many members. And not all have been given the same thing. God has, by his grace and in his wisdom, he gives different people different talents, different abilities, different places to fill. Some to the ministry, some to giving, some for encouragement, some to evangelism, some for helps, some to be able to meet the need of somebody's life that nobody else may be able to. But the Lord knew that he gave you that special something that nobody else could fill. And then he said, now, come together as a body, a functioning body that has many members. And so then when you come to the body, you can have the hands and the arms and the feet and the legs and the eyes and the ears and the mouth. And they can all work together for something beautiful. So you see then, it's not just about me in coming together on what I feel like that I need or I don't need. I need you. I need the other members of Christ's body. God set it up that way. But not only that. Not only that. Other people need you. Let us serve one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Let us Let us consider one another that we might be able to help each other in this journey and in this race, so that when we get to the end, that we can hear those words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, and that maybe by the grace of God, we would have allowed the Lord to use us as vessels to reach somebody else. And I'm going to say, yes, of course, this morning, that coming together and assembling is just a small piece of that. We just meet for a little bit of time, a couple of times, a few times a week. And that it's the body, the functioning body, serves way more than just that little bit of time. But this is a piece of it. It's a piece of it that the scriptures bring out. One more verse, one more passage in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'd like to read Ephesians 4 and 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth, because and so that, in the end, we don't have to be as spiritual children that are tossed to and fro and have no strength and are without a foundation, without teaching and without knowledge and without being able to benefit from that the Lord has given and carried about with every wind of doctrine, all the influences of the things that would so quickly come into our lives and move us that in the wrong direction, that we can come to that place where that doesn't have to happen, but that we can be strong and have a house that stands in the end. Again, you see the importance of being together, serving each other, being served and serving. I am really thankful today for the online resources that we have. We have resources today that we didn't have when I was a kid growing up. Certainly have resources today that they didn't have back when this was written, and what a blessing it is to be able to tune in remotely to services. And that may be a place where every single one of us finds ourselves somewhere in life that is our avenue to be able to benefit, where we are unable to come. But if everybody had the belief and the thought that we could just live unto ourselves when we were able to go out and to be in a place where we could serve and be served, then, you know, some of the need for apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and exhorters and helps and those that have that special talent of showing love, that is able to connect on a level that a lot of times other people are not able to do. You've met those people. If we never came together, we wouldn't be able to benefit from these things. So it's more than just about ourselves. I want to be challenged today to partake of that which the Lord puts on the table for my good. And I want to see beyond myself. And I don't want to miss out on being fed from that which the Lord would like to feed me. And I want to be careful that I not allow space in my life to be filled by something other than what God would like me to be filled with. So in conclusion this morning, when we're in a place and we are in a condition but we choose to make a pattern of allowing the temporal things of life or the absence of interest in the things above to take priority, it will indeed affect the fruit that comes from our lives. And it will also affect the benefit that God wants your special life to have in the lives of other people. Is it worth it? It's worth it to come. It's worth it to choose life. It is worth it to make decisions in the ordering of our life and our home so that we see the value of coming together and ministering to each other. It is not, in the fear of the Lord this morning, it is not just about the teacher, the minister, the one that stands before you, maybe in a formal manner like this. It's not just about a transaction that takes place between you and that person, and that maybe you can get that from some other place. But it is about a coming together to encourage one another and serve one another and reach out to one another and to fulfill the place in the body of Christ that He would have us fill and make a priority of it, so that when we get to the end of the way, the Lord can say to us, by the grace of God, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want a purpose in my heart this morning. As the scripture says, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly and do that which is important to the ordering of our lives and our homes. As we think about coming together and worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth and partaking of that which He sets on the table of life in front of us, maybe we could stand and sing 408 this morning and allow the Lord just to speak to our hearts as individuals.